at this picture this morning with the altar being open. By the way, it's open the whole service. Of Jesus walking the aisles and saying, each of us, let me help you. Let me help you. I want to help you today. In addition to those that were up at the altar, I just sensed that he was asking all of us, let me help you today. The altar will be open throughout the service at the end. I believe that God just had a preparation time for all that he wants to do in each of our lives. Jesus is always available 24/7 to all of us. Jesus wants us to go to him and say, I need help today. He wants that. We don't bother God when we ask for help. In fact, I sense that he might be disappointed at times that we don't look to him and we look to our own humanness. I looked at the bulletin insert this morning and it says words of affirmation is exactly what we need. Words of affirmation. Don't read it now, but anyway, put that on your to-do list. The bulletin insert, words of affirmation. Very appropriate for today. Last week we talked about how Nehemiah cried out to God. And today we want to talk about an area that Nehemiah faced, and we all face. It affects all of us. And that is discouragement. Discouragement, that big long word, discouragement. It affects all of us at different times. Because in the process of living the Christian life, we all face criticism. We all face opposition. We all face fears. We all face discouragement. We face opposition, obstacles, battles, just as Nehemiah did. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible puts it like this. I like to read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. Listen carefully. But this precious treasure, this light and power that now shine within us is held in a perishable container, that is, in our weak bodies. Everyone can see that the glorious power within must be from God and is not our own. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but not crushed and broken. We are perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do. But we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. God never abandons us. Tell someone right now, God will never abandon you. Tell them. Okay, tell someone else, God will never abandon you. Oh, we get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. These bodies of ours are constantly facing death just as Jesus did. So it is clear to all that it is only the living Christ within who keeps us safe. Yes, we live under constant danger to our lives because we serve the Lord. But this gives us constant opportunities to show forth the power of Jesus Christ within our dying bodies. I'm going to give you parentheses. Anytime we follow Jesus, we're going to have battles. Okay? If you didn't hear it before, you need to hear it now. Anytime you follow what's the right thing to do, you follow the truth, you follow Jesus, you are in a battle. Yes, we live under constant danger to our lives because we serve the Lord, but this gives us constant opportunities to show forth the power of Jesus Christ within our dying bodies. Because of our preaching, we face death, but it has resulted in eternal life for you. We boldly say what we believe, trusting God to care for us, just as the psalm writer did when he said, I believe, and therefore I speak. We know that the same God who brought the Lord Jesus back from the dead will also bring us back to life again with Jesus and present us to him along with you. These sufferings of ours are for your benefit. And the more of you who are one to Christ, the more there are to thank him for his great kindness, and the more the Lord is glorified. That is why we never give up. Okay, tell someone, never give up on God. Again, tell someone else, never give up on God. Whoa, those are good words to use this week. You just encouraged each other. Though our bodies are dying, our inner strength in the Lord is growing every day. These troubles and sufferings of ours are, after all, quite small and won't last very long. Yet this short time of distress will result in God's richest blessing upon us forever and ever. So we do not look at what we can see right now, the troubles all around us, but we look forward to the joys in heaven which we have not yet seen. The troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Forever. The Word of God. When we look at God's Word, when we hear it, when we speak it, the enemy is fearful because it's the truth. It's the Word of God. It's God's heart to us. God is giving His heart to us. All we have to do is open His book. It's all there. His heart. So if you want to know the heart of God, read the book. It's just over and over how God has given us His love book to us. We need to be saturated with it. The devil has a strategy to take you down. You see, the guy doesn't look like he's having a good day. But I'm here to tell you that we've all been there. We all need help. Here's a strategy. Number one, you can fill out, it's in the bulletin, if you want to write some things down, that'll help you remember and look at it during the week. His strategy is, number one, doubt. Doubt. He wants you to question God's word and God's goodness. Is that really what God said? Really? And God doesn't change. You know, my Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He won't change. He's consistent. We are secure in Christ. And secondly, discouragement. He wants you to look at your problems rather than focus on Jesus. Look at the problems. Problems. And God wants us to focus on Him. Recently in Kentucky, there is a huge building that was built called the Ark. And you know, the Ark reminds us of God's faithfulness and our hope in Jesus. And the enemy didn't like that. In fact, 1,000 schools were sent letters saying, please don't take your students to visit the Ark because it's a separation of church and state, and on it goes. There's battles. We're in a battle. But the Ark represents God's faithfulness. And I believe, I told a couple of people this morning, I believe because of that, there's going to be more and more people that are curious and say, I want to visit. I want to see what this is about. The third thing is distraction. He wants you to see wrong things as attractive so that you are no longer focused on doing what is right. That's happening today, over and over. We've got to know what the truth is. And number four, defeat. He wants you to feel like a failure so that you are overwhelmed and you no longer try to live out God's call in your life. I'm here to tell you, we've heard it before, for all of you, God has a destiny for every single person. God has plans. And God, I don't know how to put it, God dreams big for you, bigger than we dream sometimes. And if we just take that step of faith, this is all about faith. That's why we have the whole theme, discouragement, the enemy of faith. If you just take that step, God wants to show us and prove to us that He is still on the throne and He's a mighty God and He will do things that we might seem to us impossible. So take that step, because we're taking the step with Jesus. It's not in our strength. We're asking God to help us. That's what this is all about this morning. Jesus saying, I want to help you. I want to be your best friend. This week, as I mowed the yard, I moved the cement blocks in our front of the house to finish mowing, and I noticed that someone had put a half-full container of Blizzard ice cream inside one of the blocks. So I looked at it, and I thought, oh, great, because we're on the corner, and I'm always picking up trash. People, I mow the yard, and people throw their trash right after. I looked at my wife, and I said, I can't believe this. I just mowed the yard, and that evening, someone had already thrown trash in it. Couldn't wait. But anyway, so I was picking up this half-full container of blizzard, which was melted and didn't look too healthy or whatever, but it was full of ants. Full of ants, okay? Just completely full. They got the message out. They called their neighbors. They called the whole community, and they were there. You know, they were enjoying that. So I took it out, and I poured it out. And the ants didn't go off their own way and say, oh, woe is me, and pout and complain and everything else. You know what they did? They gathered together and they began rebuilding and doing what they were doing before, even in the situation where I poured them out. It's amazing we can learn from ants. As people, when we have problems and everything, a lot of times we go out and pout and they say, why is this happening to me? You know, I wish it would have happened to someone else. Why me? Why is this, you know, washer breaking down? Why is this car, it's not running the way it should? Why me? And you know what? God wants us to join together as a body and encourage each other and continue doing his work, just like the ants. God has called us to work together and do kingdom work. He's not a lone ranger. If we don't encourage each other, we will tend to fall into discouragement. Recently in Lancaster County, there was a chicken barn that caught fire in eastern Lancaster County out toward Gap, and we know a relative of the people. Their last name was Eby. This is the second time in a year. I think in February, a tornado took it down. Okay, recently, in June, they had a fire. You know what? If I was living there, it'd be really easy to say, well, I guess, Lord, you don't want the chicken barn. But that's not what happened. All the neighbors came together, friends and people. They came together, they did the cleanup, and they started to rebuild. You know, that's community. That's encouragement. That's working together, doing kingdom work. I'm sure that those people will not ever forget what took place. The church is all about doing things together. We all need help with our problems. So in Nehemiah's day, what was causing the workers to be discouraged? They had a loss of strength. They were tired. They're exhausted, fatigue. We'll get into it. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. Get into it. But, you know, they were tired, and they were lost their focus, and they were frustrated. And the enemy comes in, and he wants us to feel worthless, like we have no value, no value at all. Helpless and insignificant. And we got to go back to the first part of our series for the summer. You know, we started with identity, and Brent and Brian and a number of people, they were talking about how we need to claim our identity. We need to claim it. And now we're in the series, not only do we need to claim it, we have to protect it. We have to guard it like a watchman. So we have our identity in Christ, but we've got to guard it because the enemy wants to steal and destroy. That's his whole focus, and he lies to us. In fact, in John chapter 8, it says that the enemy, the devil, is the father of lies. That's his native language, lying. But God always tells us the truth. The Holy Spirit is full of nothing but truth. So we have opposites. Ezra chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, right before Nehemiah. I want to read that. Ezra chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Here's what Ezra said. Ezra 4, verses 4 and 5. Then the peoples around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and make them afraid to go on building. They hired counselors to work against them and frustrate their plans during the entire reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, and down to the reign of Darius, king of Persia. They had major, major battles. And Nehemiah was right in the middle of that. Another thing that was causing the workers to be discouraged was loss of confidence. I can't do it. Loss of confidence in themselves, in each other, and in God, in completing the work. And finally, they had loss of security. They had fear of physical attack. Listen carefully, people. When we stop listening to God and start listening to God's enemy, we we lose our sense of security. We lose our sense of security. In verse 9, we'll read that. It says, but we prayed to our God. Last week we talked about how Nehemiah cried out to God. That's a theme that goes the whole way through. We continue to cry out to God. Just because we've overcome one obstacle doesn't mean that we stop crying out to God. How often did Jesus go and meet with his Father? How often did he say, I only do what the Father wants me to do? He connected. We have to be connected. We can't do things on our own. It doesn't work that way. God is still on our side. He will continue to be on our side. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible goes like this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Here's what the Bible says. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will, are you ready for this? will be persecuted. Everyone. Does that mean me, Lord? Yeah. Everyone is everyone. I don't think that changes. So if you're experiencing some hard times, persecution, we have no idea what the third world is experiencing. We have no idea. I mean, there's, places that if they know you're a believer, they'll burn down your house. They'll put you in jail. If they know that you're meeting at a church, they'll just burn down the church. It's no longer there. We have it relatively easy in the United States, but we still have battles. In our text, Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 23, it's amazing what Nehemiah went through, but just think that every time that we experience a difficult time in our life, we have to think of what God is about, what God wants to do. God is all about looking at our situation and saying, I know what you're going through. I understand. But hold on to me. Don't give up. It's just interesting. I read something this morning. Jesus was walking on the water, and all the disciples had experienced the faithfulness of Jesus and what he was about. And then they were fearful, and he said, oh, you of little faith. You see, when our eyes are fixed on the Lord, life is good, regardless of what's going on around you. But when the storms of life are raging, God wants us to have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. It's all about holding on to the Lord, not giving in. Nehemiah chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Tobiah, the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, what they are building, if even a fox climbed up on it, he would break down their wall of stones. Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. Verse 7. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry right in the middle of a battle. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. And meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Also, our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work. And then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. And after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your homes. And when our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his own work. And from that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. And those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there, and our God will fight for us. So we continued the work with half the men holding spears from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. At that time, I also said to the people, have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night, so that they can serve us as guards by night and workmen by day. Neither I, nor my brothers, nor my men, nor my guards with me took off their clothes. Each had his weapon, even when he went for water. That's God's word. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the lesson that you have for each one of us today. I just ask that, Holy Spirit, you might minister to us and draw us deeper in our relationship with you. And we thank you for the truth. And Father, I choose to decrease that you can increase in this place today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we want to look at this passage, and I believe that Nehemiah gives us 4 cures for discouragement. Number one, they all begin with R. Number one, reorganize your life. Reorganize your life. The Bible says, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords. Reorganize your life. It's just amazing how all of us have our own things going on in our lives. I came across this as I was reorganizing our house, decluttering the house. And that's no fun, but I've been doing that for a while, and came across something that Dave Whitmer wrote probably 15, 20 years ago when he was with Home Ministries at EMM. He was a prayer coordinator, and at the beginning of this article, here's what he said. 3 things plague our towns and cities. Number one, the enemy harasses people's imaginations with fear, joyless ambition, and a barrage of temptations. Number two, our cities seem helpless to turn the tide of evil. And number three, political leaders make only hobbled strides to lead their towns and cities out of the mess. If this describes your city, it is ripe for harvest. When God begins doing a work in our lives, and we begin reorganizing our life according to the way God wants it, then it will affect our neighborhood. Then it'll affect the people that we come in contact with. God begins with us, and you're saying, I'm only one person. What can I do? Only one person. One person on fire for Jesus can spread like wildfire, you know. And the opposite is true, too. You get a bad peach and a whole group of peaches, it won't be long until you'll have more than one bad peach. So we all need that daily time with Jesus so that we know what God wants us to do, and we are convinced that with God we can do all things. So God wants us to listen to him so he can direct us for our day. Does that make sense? We've got to listen to him. And so Nehemiah He saw that the families had been separated, so he brought families and relatives together, working side by side. There's some scriptures we want to look at here. In 2 Timothy 1:12, here's what the Bible says. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy 1:12. Timothy said, Paul said to Timothy, "That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day." Paul was passing on that truth to Timothy and for all of us, that we must know who we are in Christ. And then Hebrews 3:13. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Here's what the Bible says. Verse 13. "But encourage one another daily." I repeat, it's a command. "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Encourage one another daily. And then Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Here's what the Bible says. "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, in case you think that our country is going to get better, it's not. The Bible talks about it's only going to get worse. And that's all the more reason that we've got to hold on to Jesus. We've got to hold on to Jesus. It's all there in the Bible. It talks about what's going on today. It's all written in the Bible. It's all there. All you got to do is read it. We must come up with a new approach of doing the work. The church family doing things together, encouraging each other, serving the community together. We must move from discouragement to encouragement. Encourage. Are you ready for this? Discouragement to encouragement. Encourage means to put courage into someone and inspire them with hope. Encourage means to put courage into someone and inspire them with hope. Encourage. We can't inspire people if we don't have the hope within us. We got to have the hope within us. Let me skip something here. Let's go to number two. Number two, Nehemiah gives us the second cure for discouragement. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. He said, "I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome." Nehemiah saw their fear, and he knew that the people needed to get their eyes back on the Lord. He knew that that had to happen. Their focus had to change from being on the rubble and the criticism to focusing on the Lord. In Psalm 46:10, the Bible puts it like this. Psalm 46, verse 10. You're going to have a lot of scripture days, all right? Psalm 46:10. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And then Romans 8:31, New Testament, Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Here's what the Bible says. "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?" If God is for us, who can be against us? Okay. If your neighbor is getting drowsy. No. But anyway, tell your neighbor God is for you. Tell your neighbor God is for you. God is for you. You know, God is rooting for you. He's not back there in the stands just saying, "Okay, I see what you're doing. I hope you make it today." No, he's cheering us on. I wonder sometimes, I mean, I don't know if this happens, but I wonder sometimes if God doesn't collect the angels and say, we got to cheer them on, you know. We got to cheer them on because they're having troubles. We got to cheer them on. Encourage them. And then Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, a familiar passage, but I just want to read the one verse. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Some of these you might want to underline and read this week. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And then Psalm 18, 2. Psalm chapter 18, verse 2. Here's what the Bible says. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold. And then there's a small book in the Bible you probably don't get into too much. It's called Jonah. Right after Obadiah, and that's a small book too. But Jonah chapter 2, verse 7, here's what the Bible says. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you to your holy temple. Wow. God wants us to call out to him. There is this radio program, Dennis Rainey, he's got Family Life radio program. And he said recently the most Googled word of 2015 was, what do you think it was? The most Googled word of 2015, what do you think it was? Identity. Identity. The most Googled word of 2015 was the word identity. Do you think that it's fairly significant that we have this theme for the summer, identity, claiming our identity, protecting our identity? I think it is. I think it is. People are searching. People are out there searching. They're wondering, who am I? What am I here for? And on we can go with identity. We must protect our identity that we have claimed in Jesus Christ. Corrie ten Boom, who was working at saving the Jewish people in the Nazi regime that was trying to capture them and put them to death, she said, and she's passed on, but she said, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. You'll be at rest. Remember God's faithfulness. There's a song that I think right here that we need to hold on to, and you've never heard this song before, but you can sing along with it if you'd like.
I'm leaning, I'm leaning. My troubled soul, why so weighed down? You were not made to bear this heavy load. Cast all your burden upon the Lord. Jesus cares. He cares for you. Jesus cares, it's true. Jesus cares. He cares for you. And all your worrying won't help you make it through. Cast all your burdens upon the Lord.
Trust again.
And trust again in the promise of His love.
Oh, praise the mighty name.
I will praise the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord, the lifter of my head. Praise the rock of my salvation. All my days are in His faithful hand.
My anxious heart, why so upset? Way Out. That's entitled My Troubled Soul. The third cure for discouragement is restore. Restore balance to our life. When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his own work, and those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon with the other. So Nehemiah helped the people focus on continuing the work while also being prepared to fight. Okay, spiritually, God wants us to continue the work He's called us to do, but also being ready to fight. we must be ready to fight, because that's what kingdom work is all about. Don't give up. Fight for it. It's just, if you know that God has called you to do something, he doesn't want us to give up. Continue to fight and ask him for help and strength, and he'll see you through. You'll make it. Restore balance to our life. Satan is trying to cause us to stop working for the Lord. But God is telling us, get back to kingdom work. Keep serving Jesus. Get back to kingdom work. Keep serving Jesus. In the Bible, in the Gospel of John, chapter 9, Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 4. Here's what the Bible says. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. And then Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Colossians 3, verse 23. Here's what the Bible says. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. And finally, Matthew chapter 9, 37 and 38. Matthew 9, 37 and 38. Here's what the Bible says. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." It's all about restoring balance to our lives. If we feel like we're off balance, too much work, not enough being in God's presence, God wants us to bring that balanced, because we have enough distractions the way it is. So there's a reason why the Bible says focus, focus, focus. Let us focus on Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Focus. And the fourth area we want to look at, and they're all important, the fourth cure for discouragement, rely on God. Rely on God. In verse 20, whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. Nehemiah knew that the enemy would attack at any time, in any place, so the trumpet was a method of calling all the workers to join forces against the enemy. Even in the world of nature, I don't have time to show you, but there's certain animals that if there's a predator that's coming, they'll join together and keep the predator from getting in to the young. They do that. There's something about joining together. We used to play a game. Red Rover, Red Rover. That's a long time ago. Anyway, you'd hold hands and try to keep the person getting in, right? And join together. When you join together, it's powerful. It's powerful. The workers knew they were committed to help each other to God's victory against the enemy. And then their faith was strengthened. Their faith was strengthened. In Psalm 42, Psalm 42, a good chapter to go to this week. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession in the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls the deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? You know, David was going through a tough time. He wasn't immune from hard times. But then notice how he finishes this. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Psalm 24:8. The Bible says this. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. And finally, Proverbs 29:25. Proverbs 29:25. Fear of man will prove to be a snare. Did you get that? That's a lot of times where our fears are. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Did you get that? Whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Which one is it, man or the Lord? It's just pretty clear here in Proverbs. So we've had Hebrews 3:13 is repeated. I already read it earlier. God has commanded us to encourage each other daily. Daily. And then finally, the four cures: reorganize your life, remember the Lord, restore balance to your life, rely on God. I wonder if the worship team, could you come up quick and just a short song? And I want to just invite the people to come, those of you who just want to hang out at the altar and deal with the Lord this morning. And that's it. Just some questions as they're coming. How are you handling your problems? You know, discouragement is a result of problems. We look at our problems and we tend to be discouraged. And we say, what's happening to me, like David did here? All problems need to be placed at the feet of Jesus. All problems need to be placed at the feet of Jesus. So who's winning your battles, God or the devil? Like Nehemiah, which cure for discouragement do you need right now in your life? Which one? I just invite you to come forward and lay your problem down at the feet of Jesus. Lay your problem down at the altar and ask God for his help. God wants to help us. It's time to stop thinking about ourselves and how we can fix our situation. It's time to direct our attention to Jesus. That's really what needs to be done. Direct our attention to Jesus. So I don't want you to leave here today. If you got an issue with worry, anxiety, discouragement that you've been hanging on to and you haven't allowed God to help you, just lay it down at the altar. Okay? The altar is open. Feel free to come forward. After they're done playing here, consider yourself dismissed.